Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos is Bay Aleph. We're here on the eighth parak of the Masechta. Eighth parak is a substantial parak, long in terms of Zapim and important in terms of just issues that are being covered. Parak opened up going way back. And we discussed whether an Aro can eat Truma. An Aro cannot eat Truma. There wasn't a discussion over there. That's a that was easy. And from there going forward, so we discussed the limits of an Aro, what an Aro can do, what an Aro cannot do regarding Chilas Karm Pesach. There's no discussion over there. You don't need a Mishnah. You don't need a Gemara. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Aro's not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. And other activities as well. Paraduma, etc. The parak goes all the way back to Daf Ayin. So we're now in the 11th Daf. Let's call it the 11th Daf of the parak. Today's Daf is Daf Pei Alf, and we're still discussing various issues regarding Arelus. And now we moved a little bit, transitioned a little bit from Arel to we discussed Swiss and Psuadaka and Khrushchevcha. So various pathologies that exist within a man that would render him impotent, and he would therefore be prohibited to marry a Jewish woman. Pasuk in Parsha Kisaitz, it says, Lo yavo Psuadaka Khrushchevcha b'kal Hashem, that if a man has any kind of injury, serious, significant injury to his private area, so he's not allowed to marry b'kal Hashem. So who can he marry? There are people that he can marry if a person doesn't qualify within the construct of Kahal. So say a Psuadaka and a Khrushchevcha is allowed to marry such an individual. Okay. And we spoke about that now for the last number of days. The Mishnah, going back to now Ayin Testament Beis, so the Mishnah talks about a Sris. So somebody who's so impotent. So again, Khrushchevcha and Psuadaka are examples of a Sris, but that would be called a Sris Adam, meaning that there is a clear and present injury that occurred to the individual that now will result in him being impotent and being unable to produce children. So Psuadak and Khrushchev are examples. But Sris just is a description of anyone who is simply unable to father a child. In other words, he has impotence. Now, it could be that he's what's called a Sris Adam, or it could be a Sris Chama. So again, the Mishnah goes back and discusses that on Ayin Testament Beis. The Sris Adam simply means that something occurred to him over the course of his lifetime that rendered him impotent. So injury would be probably the best example, and certainly Psuadaka and Khrushchevcha would be examples of being a Sris Adam, but those aren't the limits. In other words, there would be other examples of Sris Adam as well, discussion of maybe illness and other things that could render him a Sris Adam. Sris Chama, so that's congenital impotence. A person is now, I'll say maybe it's a hormonal issue, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but whatever the case is that he was born congenital impotence. He simply did not have the ability to father children, going all the way back to the birth. Now, how do you diagnose that? Funny you should ask, because that's where we're going to be starting our Gemara today. Our Gemara, we're starting on Daf Pei Amud Beis, and we're going to be talking about diagnosing and seeing how if the person is in fact a Sris Chama. Halachically speaking, what's the difference between Sris Adam and Sris Chama? So that also takes us back to the Mishnah that we saw already on yesterday's Daf. So the Mishnah says that a Sris is Cholitz v'Cholitz and Lishto. Sris is Lo Cholitz v'Lo Cholitz and Lishto. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, look, I have two different Misaras. I don't know what to do. I heard that a Sris does Chalitza, and Chalitza is performed on his on the widow of a Sris. And then I heard a Sris does not do Chalitza. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, I have two Misaras. I know they're both right. I just don't know how to. I don't know how to balance those two masoras. So Rabbi Akiva says it's very good. It's no problem whatsoever. I'll help you balance it. So Rabbi Akiva in yesterday's Mishnah taught us that when it comes to a Sris Chama, so let's start. I'll go in the order. When it comes to Sris Adam, so Cholos v'Cholos and Lishto. Why? Because it was a Shas Kosher. So when it comes to Sris Adam, so because at one point in time he wasn't a Sris, meaning the whole definition of Sris Adam is that at one point he had potency, and then for reasons of injury, he then became impotent. So, but there was a Shasa Kosher. Since there was a Shasa Kosher, so therefore, he can do Chalitza. And the Chalitza would be rendered a good Chalitza. And also, he could do, if he was the one who was Nifter, so you do Chalitza on his late wife. Okay, that's the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. We discussed that at length in yesterday's Daf. Rabbi Eliezer goes in the exact opposite direction. Rabbi Eliezer says that when it comes to Sris Adam, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the sentence on Rabbi Akiva. Okay, let me go back. However, when it comes to Sris Chama, by Sus Chama, so there was never a Shas Kosher. And Rabbi Akiva assumes that this is a condition that is untreatable. And so therefore, when you're Sus Chama, so therefore there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning the mitzvah of Yibum is all a predicate of you gotta reproduce and create progeny. And if there simply never was a Shas Kosher, and there is no and there is no known treatment, so therefore you are there's just simply an exemption for the mitzvah of Yibum. That's all Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Eliezer, as we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, also juggles the two Masoras of Rabbi Yoshua and says the exact opposite. He says that when it comes to a Sris Adam currently right now is not able to father children. No mitzvah of Yibum. In other words, there was a Shas Kosher. Yeah, there was a Shas Kosher. But that was then. This is now. And right now, he's unable to father children, so he can't do Chalitza, nor is there a mitzvah of Chalitza on his widow. That's Sris Adam. On the other hand, what about Sris Chama? So Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, Sris Chama, it's true that he was born congenitally, he was impotent, but there's a way to treat it. It comes out funny, by the way. I think I made this observation yesterday. I'm not sure, but anyway, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer are having a machlokus whether Sris Chama is in fact a treatable condition. It's not a treatable condition. That generally speaking, that's not what the Tanaim are arguing about. Meaning they're not going to have a medical debate or discussion regarding whether something is curable or not curable. And it seems to be that that's part and parcel of the discussion. Okay. I'll mention it, but then we'll move on from there. That is all a lengthy review of what we did yesterday. Okay, but pretty much necessary. Let's go. Tana Rabbanan. We are starting with a brisa. We're on payment base and about a quarter of the way down. Ezu Sris Chama. Once again, as we pointed out, Sris Chama means that he was born with the equipment. It just happens to be that the equipment is not working. And how do I know? And how do we know? How do you diagnose it? So Kol Shu Ben Esrim V'lo Hevi Shtei Saros. So got to 20 years of age, and there's no Saros. There's no hair in the area, in the region. So that would be an indication that there's something. He just simply does not have potency. Okay, again, could be a hormonal issue, but I don't know nearly enough to make any kind of statements like that. But okay, it seems to be the case. And if, let's say, after 20, he starts developing some hair in that region, still doesn't matter. Meaning, by 20 years of age, there's an expectation that there has to be saros, and if there's not, so then he's a. So then you can. He qualifies for being what's called a Sris Chama. Okay, and again, with all the ensuing discussions that we had in yesterday's daf, the Eilo Ein Simanav. Now, in terms of the Simanim, so are there ways to diagnose? The Brisa says yes, there is. Kol She'en Lo Zakan V'Saro Lakui. So Ubisar Machlik. So he does not have a Zakan. Zakan over here would seem to be not a euphemism, but Zakan over here would mean to be taken literally, meaning he doesn't have a beard, he doesn't have facial hair. So he has no facial hair, and Sari Lakui, and his hair looks a little weak, thin hair, if you will. And Bisaro Machlik, and his skin is very smooth. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Misham Rabbi Yehuda Ben Yair, Kol She'ein, Amemav Ma'alim Resichos. When he urinates, so it doesn't have any bubbles, right? It's not bubbling up. V'yeshomim Kol Amatamayim V'yenosim Kippah. Yeshomim is the summer of the opinion that, as far as urine is concerned, the urine flow is very weak and it doesn't create an arc. Meaning, generally speaking, when the urine flow is strong, so it'll create an arc. It'll go up, it'll come back down again. So for this person, it does not. Yeshomim kol sheshich v'zero doche. Another way to diagnose it is, as far as the shich v'zero is concerned, it's very thin. It comes out very thin. Some are of the opinion that the urine is not machmitz. Sounds similar to what we said previously. I'm not really sure what the difference is. Anyway, it doesn't ferment. Okay. Not really sure, but anyway. You are bathing in the wintertime, and your skin is not giving off any steam. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Kol Shekol Lakui, Ve'iniker Bein Ish L'Isha, very high voice, unable to really determine whether or not it's a male voice or a female voice. Okay, so that's a lot of different symptoms to try to indicate whether or not a person is a Sris Chama. a person has to be symptomatic on all these symptoms that we just listed? Hold that question. Ve'ezuhi ilanis. So now we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it regarding a woman. So a woman who is ill-equipped to have children, right? So that's called an ilanis. Ilanis, by the way, we've gone over this before. It comes from the word isle. Isle means a ram. A ram is a male sheep. So over here, so when she's ill-equipped to have children, she's ill-equipped to be able to reproduce. So the term they use to describe her throughout Shas is called an ilanis. So what is the definition of an ilanis? Kol shehi bas esrim v'lo hevi'a beisaros. So same thing. In other words, the principal symptom that would indicate that a woman is an ilanis is where by 20 years of age, so she does not have hair in that region. So and again now other symptoms that would not require a person to look in the private area, but just simply ways of telling that the woman is an ilanis. So she is not matured in her chest, and it's very painful for her to have relations. She doesn't have the curvature of a woman. I'll just leave it at that. Very thick voice. Can't tell whether or not the voice is a male voice or a female voice. So these are all various symptoms that would indicate that a woman is an ilanis. Now, in terms of the simani stris, so we just went over in the Braisa approximately a half dozen different symptoms that would indicate that a man is a stris. And so does he need all of them? Or is one of these symptoms sufficient to diagnose him as being a stris? Machlokes Amoraim. Rav Huna's of the position. Achiyu Kulam. You need every one of the symptoms that we just listed over here. Otherwise does not qualify. I'm not sure if that's the best way to say it, but does not qualify as a stris chama. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan says no. Afil ba'echemem hechid dehevi shtei zaharas bezakin kulam lo paleg ashiu kulan. So the Gemara says as follows: look, if there is hair growing in the region, and so, but at the same time, however, he seems to be a stris chama because he's showing some of the symptoms. So there we have no debate. In other words, if there is hair in the region, and but at the same time, however, he's exhibiting these other symptoms. Everyone's of the opinion that he has to be exhibiting all the above symptoms that we just listed. So the only machlokus is where there is no hair in the private area. So under those circumstances, now is he a stris chama? So if he exhibits these other symptoms, machlokus whether or not he has to exhibit all these other symptoms or just simply one of these symptoms. Ela hadam lo rabba baravula rabbanan einu beberav nachman I besaramala hevel. Ace of Lebras. So come on, Karavuna. So the Gemara says, okay, do an investigation on Rav Nachman. And if, in fact, he's able to perspire correctly, and that was one of the symptoms that we discussed, and if so then I'm going to give him my daughter. I just want to make sure that he's not a stress. So he was looking for one symptom, and as long as he tests negative on one of the symptoms, so then fine. So I'll be more than happy to give him over my daughter. So, come on, Karavuna. So the Gemara says, now, we're looking over here for one of the symptoms, and presumably, he's holding like Karavuna. Remember, according to Karavuna, a person only is a stris chama when he exhibits all the symptoms. So all he has to do is just test negative on one of the symptoms. I just went through testing yesterday. So all he has to do is test negative on one of the symptoms, so then he wouldn't be considered a stris chama. And so the Gemara is just a little bit startled that on this machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, we would pass him like Rav Huna, not like Rav Nachman. So lo, Rav Nachman sichri digni havila. So the Gemara says no. He had sar b'zakano. He already had hair in his zakan. Now over here, is it euphemistic? Is it not euphemistic? I'm not totally sure. But anyway, there already were enough pieces of evidence that would indicate that he's not a stris. And he wanted just simply another confirming point. But in other words, but this does not necessarily prove one way or another whether or not we pass like Rav Nachman, whether we pass like Rav Huna, whether we pass like Rav Yochanan, meaning this is not going to be a referendum on the above machlokas that we just had amongst the Amoraim. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so first discussion for today is what exactly will give a person the status of being a Stris Chama. again, in terms of the nafkaminas, go back to yesterday's daf. So we went over various symptoms that would indicate that he's a sreshchama. Machlokis amharim, whether or not he needs all the symptoms, or simply one of the above symptoms would be enough for him to be confirmed and qualify as a sreshchama. Okay, we go on. Now, in the Mishnah that we did yesterday, so Sris and Alanis were are basically put alongside one another. So my Alanis bidei shemaim, my Sris bidei shemaim. V'samakur Rabbi Akiva, dam Rabbi De Adam in bidei shemaim lo. Now the Alanis is bidei shemaim, meaning that there is a general assumption that when it comes to the Alanis, so that was not as a result of any kind of injury. In other words, she was just simply born ill-equipped to have children. Okay. And so by the Mishnah putting them side by side, so that means that when the Mishnah is describing a Sris, it's Dumi the Alanis, which means that with the Sris that we're discussing is a Sris Chama. What does that mean? It means that a Sris Chama is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. What does that mean? It means that the second half of the Mishnah, some is going like Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Some Mishnah Rabbi Akiva. It's funny, you don't really need a piece of Gemara to tell you that some Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, right, in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, if you recall, if you remember, so the Mishnah over there says that, generally speaking, is the trend. Meaning that Rabbi Akiva, we just did the Gemara's here in Yevamos, back on Samech Beis, right? Sounds about right. So we did the Gemara's together, then the Gemara taught us that Rabbi Akiva started anew, meaning after having lost his 24,000 Talmidim, he started with another 5 Talmidim, and of those 5 Talmidim, Rabbi Meir and four other Tanayim. So generally speaking, the Stam Mishnayos, the Stam Toseftas, anyway, the Stam Sifra, so they're all going like Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which means basically that the Stam, all the anonymous positions throughout Shas, generally, this is obviously not a rule, but generally, in fact, following Rabbi Akiva. So we have a Mishnah over here in the second half of the Mishnah, which is an anonymous Mishnah, is going like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that's kind of what we expected. Well, I don't know. You're right. I don't know. In other words, because the organs are internal, so it's a fair question. I can't remember if a Gemara ever discussing such a phenomenon. It's a good question. Okay. Hasrish echalos levinto lo pasa. So the sritz that does chalitza to his yivama does not disqualify time of the bala. And the reason, but once he does have relations with her, so then that is relations with a man that's forbidden to you, and that would passel you, right? That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And the truth of the matter is, this is an idea that we've been going over numerous times, is that once a woman engages in a prohibitive relations, where the act of relations is an isser, is a lav, could also be maybe an isser, I'll say, but it's certainly if it's a question of a lav, so the woman becomes now a zona. Right, we already discussed this and debated this earlier in our parak, but anyway, but that would be a zona. So time of the bala ha acher lo. So the time of the bala hu. So ha acher lo. So the Gemara says, so the reason that she would be disqualified is because this one had beer with her. But if one of the other brothers had beer with her, then no. So so lema tavati of the Rav Amnon da Amar Shemar Sefer Shezinsa psula liyavama. So the Gemara says, now if that's true, so this would be difficult for Rav Huna. So the Shemer Siavam, who is Mizana, so she would be disqualified to her Yavam. And that's the Sheet of Rav Hamnuna, and presumably the Mishnah, not what the Mishnah says, but the Diak in the Mishnah would be going against Rav Hamnuna. Lo, the Gemara says, who adin dafilo l'achernami. So no, the disqualification would occur whether or not it was a Sris who had relations with her, or even somebody else, meaning an outsider had relations with her. I did the Tani Resha B'Didei, Tani Nami Sefer B'Didei. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah only kept it on the oven because that's what the Mishnah was talking about, both in the beginning and the end. But the Mishnah was not meant to make a diuk regarding what if somebody else had relations with her. V'chein al nishchalsu la'achin, so time of the ba'aluha, halo ba'aluha lo. So the Gemara says, okay, and as far as analysis is concerned, she will be disqualified only with when someone has relations with her, but not before that point in time. So, command loka Rabbi Yehuda, di Rabbi Yehuda, amar Alanis zoni. Now, it happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that Alanis is a zona, meaning once a woman is ill-equipped to have children, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we talked about this earlier, it's a harsh position, but Alanis is since she's no longer in a position where she's able to be able to produce children, so therefore a woman as such would qualify therefore as a zonah, would not be able to marry a kohen. Meaning, according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, an aleph may not marry a kohen. Right? Not a position that's accepted la halacha, but in other words, in terms of the svara behind that position, so the bia principally and primarily is for the purpose of puravu, and once a woman can't be able to be engaged in a puravu type bia, so therefore it's a zona type bia. Okay, again, a totally understandable. It's a harsh position, but that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Mishnah. Okay, we're on Pei Aleph, I'm an Aleph, and beginning now a similar sugya. It's not much different than what we've been discussing. It's just Chama Kohen. But now what we're going to do is that we're going to take the discussions that we had, and we're basically going to interweave these discussions, in which we talked now about Sris Chama. We talked about a Kohen being Machel. So now we're going to take the two discussions, we're going to put them together. So let's say you have a Sris Chama Kohen. So this means that you have a Kohen who congenitally was impotent, born impotent. Again, how do we know? Go back to what we discussed in the beginning of today's shiur. And now, he marries a woman. Shenasa bas Yisrael. So ma'achila b'truma. So what he's able to do is he's allowed to afford it to eat truma. There is no prohibition for a Sris Chama to marry a woman. Now, if it's a Sris Adam, so that is a prohibition. Sris Adam is what's called the Psua Daka. A Sris Adam could also fall into the category of Kris Shafcha. So when it comes to a Sris Adam, so that's a prohibition. And being that that's a prohibition, obviously, by a Sris Adam marrying a woman, so she will, and he's a Kohen, she will not be able to eat Truma. But if it's a Sris Chama Kohen that marries a woman, so Ma'achila B'Truma, so he's, in other words, the marriage is sanctioned, the marriage is recognized, and she would be able to eat Truma. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Armin Mandragonis Kohen, Shinasa Bas Yisrael, Ma'achila B'Truma. According to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Shimon, an androgynous Kohen, Shinasa Bas Yisrael, is able to provide for her Truma. Androgynous, as we've gone over numerous times, is the Gemara's description of somebody who has both sets of genitalia, both male and female. In fact, that's built into the name. The andro is a man, and the jinn is a woman. And so the androgynous is both exhibiting male and female. Halachically speaking, what is that? Is that a male? Is that a female? Is it a bira b'fnei atzmo? So hopefully you remember. In other words, other areas in Shas, in Bechoros, we discussed this in terms of a machlokas of where to put that person in terms of halachic categories. So our mission over here seems to be taking a really strong position and a really clear position that he's a male, he's a zachar, and the marriage is recognized to the point where the woman would be able to eat truma. Rav Yehuda Amar Tumtum Shenik Rav Nimsa Zachar Lo Yachlot Mimneshi Kisris. Rav Yehuda is of the position that let's say you have a tumtum. So a tumtum is somebody where we do not know gender because there's an actual membrane covering the area. So as far as what his status is concerned, suffix, meaning we simply don't know. There simply is no gender there, and no gender that's being revealed. So, even if, let's say, the membrane tears, so according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, such an individual would be considered a stress. Maybe it was empirical. I'm not sure what the svara would be. It could just simply be an empirical position. Androgynous, no say, of Alonisa. As far as an androgynous is concerned, so he can marry a woman, but you can't marry the androgynous. Meaning, basically, he cannot take on the role of a woman in terms of a marriage. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, androgynous, chayvan lav skila kezachar. Let's say a man were to have relations with an androgynous, so that would be considered mishkav zachar. The man would be subject to a death penalty. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the androgynous is viewed halachically as a man. And relations with him by another man would qualify as mishkav zachor, subject to the death penalty. Okay, pshita. The first discussion in our Mishnah was the Sris Chama Kohen marrying a Bas Yisrael. So pshita, ma'od detema mole machel shein mole in a machel kamash malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's no iser by Sris Chama. So the Sris Chama is not prohibited to a woman, and so therefore, what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? The Mishnah is telling us that when I have a Sris Chama Kohen married to a woman, now she can eat truma. The Gemara's question is basically, we would have known that. Meaning the Sris Adam, that's a prohibition. Tzuvadaka, Kroshavcha are examples, but that's a prohibition. But a Sris Chama is not a prohibition. Okay? Of course she eats Truma. The Gemara says, and we've heard this before, and that is the Havamina would be that, look, maybe eating Truma is going to be a function of being able to father children. And since we know he's a Sris Chama, and since we know he can't father children, maybe the Gemara is at least for a moment entertaining the idea that maybe he won't be able to provide for her Truma. Okay, that's the Havamina. And the Chiddush says, no, Truma is going to be a function of marriage. This is a sanctioned marriage. It's a totally permitted marriage, and that's it. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Reb Androgynous. We move on to the Shita of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon regarding an androgynous Kohen Shanas Abbas Yisrael Ma'achila V'Truma. So that if you have a Kohen androgynous married to a woman, so she can eat Truma. Amar Shlakish Ma'achila V'Truma. Vein Ma'achila B'Chaz V'Shok. So Rabbi Shlakish says, let's limit the Mishnah. Meaning, even though the Mishnah may certainly sounds like androgynous is a male, meaning again, biologically exhibiting both male and female. Halachically, what is he? Our Mishnah seems to be taking a really simple, strong position that halachically he's a male. That's the halachic definition of what he is. Okay, and it's evident in the fact that the Mishnah says that when the androgynous Kohen marries a woman, she can eat truma. Okay, sounds that way, right? So Reish Lakish says, yeah, it sounds that way, but no. What we're going to do is that we're going to mitigate. We're going to temper the Mishnah. The Mishnah is only talking about ma'achila b'truma vein ma'achila b'chaz b'shok. Nah, he can give her truma, but he can't give her chaz v'shok. Chaz v'shok, we know that when every time you shecht an animal, every time you shecht the karpim shlamim, so parts of the karpim shlamim go to the kohen, notably the parts of chaz v'shok. And what Reish Lakish is telling us is that even within our Mishnah, within the shitas of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, our androgynous Kohen, when he gets a portion of Chaz V'Shok, so he can eat it, but what he can't do is he can't give it to his wife. Why? Because we're limiting the Mishnah. We're tempering the Mishnah. Why are we tempering the Mishnah? Hold that thought. We're coming back to that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Ma'achila B'Chaz V'Shok. And Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, no. Meaning the marriage is so sanctioned, the androgynous qualifies so much as a male, so therefore he's able to feed her truma, he's able to provide for a chaz v'shok, meaning there are no limits. Now, ula reish lakish maishna chaz v'shok daraisa, truminami daraisa. So now the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around the sheet of reish lakish. What's going on with reish lakish? What could possibly be the difference between truma versus chaz v'shok? If a androgynous Kohen married to a woman can give her truma, truma's a din daraisa, right? So then, of course, he can give her chaz v'shok. What would be the difference? So, maybe we're not talking about truma in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe we're talking about truma bezman hazeh. Truma bezman hazeh is a din derabanan. Aval bezman shebeis hamikdash kayam ay lo. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, if I'm listening carefully, what Reish Lakish is teaching me is that if it's truma in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, well, that's a din daraisa. So then, no. Meaning, what Reish Lakish is basically saying is the following. Look, what is this androgynous? I think it's a man, but not sure. Meaning, maybe not. So, when it comes to Truma Durabanan, okay, so Chachamim said basically that we're going to legislate that you're going to take off Truma, but we're also going to build into that legislation a certain amount of kulas. Even if the husband is not 100% a male, meaning the androgynous, and we're not sure, okay. Well, we'll allow him to feed his wife the truma derabanan. But once we've upgraded to truma deraisa, and we're not sure whether the androgynous is a male, not a male, at that point in time, so we're gonna be more cautious. Meaning, Reish Lakish is basically of the position that the androgynous is a suffix zachar. Meaning, we think he's a male, but we're not sure. Okay, and that's why we'll make a distinction between deraisa derabanan. So then the Gemara says, okay, that's great, but I have now a simple question. Adidni Milo, Adni Machil Bakhaz of Shok, Lif Liv Lisna Bidida, Bamedra Mamor Bichumadaraban, Bichumadaraisa Lo. So then, if Reish Lakish really wanted to flex his position, really wanted to highlight what he holds, make the distinction even better. Don't make a distinction between Truma versus Chaz of Shok, make a distinction between Truma and Truma. That would be a much better way to highlight his position. Meaning, when Truma's Daraisa, the androgynous Kohen cannot feed his wife Truma. when the truma is the rabbanan, the androgynous wife can feed his wife the truma. That would have been a much better way to say it. So hachinami kamar kishu machila machila b'truma bezman hazeh the rabbanan ve'im machila bezman hazeh. I'm sorry, bezman chazeh v'shok ve'afil b'truma the rabbanan. The maaseh lo ochla b'truma daraisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you what, that's exactly what Reish Lakish says. You have to read it into the into Reish Lakish, but that's exactly what Reish Lakish is saying. Meaning, when he says Chazav Vishok, what he really means is Zman Chazav Vishok. At a time when there's Chazav Vishok. Now, when is the time of Chazav Vishok? That's when there's Karbanos. That's when there's a Beis Hamikdash. So if it's Zman Chazav Vishok, so then now we're dealing with a different playing field, right? Now we're in the majors. Sorry for the baseball reference, but now we're in the major league. So now there is a Beis Hamikdash. There's Chazav Vishok. Truma at that point in time is a Din Daraisa. And let's add another point that Gemara just said. And even if the truma is a din derabbanan, but if it's zman chazav ishok, so then again now we're in a different playing field. Meaning our judgment is kohen, which according to Reish Lakish, we're not certain is a male. We think is a male, but we're not certain. So then is not going to be able to provide for his wife. Certainly not chazav ishok, not truma deraisa, not even truma derabbanan, because truma derabbanan, even though albeit it's truma derabbanan, but you're talking about a time where there is Truma Daraisa. So across the board, we're going to be Machmer. Then when I move later, historically, to a time where there's no Chazav Ishok, so now it's a different playing field. It's no longer the majors. It's now minor league. So now at this point in time, there's no Chazav Ishok, there's no Truma Daraisa, there's only Truma Darabanan. Okay, so now that we're in the minor leagues, okay, so we could be a little bit more relaxed with the rules. The androgynous may be a male. Okay, maybe, maybe not. But over here, now that we're in the minor leagues, okay, So he can go ahead and he can give her truma. I hope you're wondering at this point in time. Bizman chazav ishok. So there's truma deraisa and there's truma derabanan. How can there be both? So we all know what Rashi's going to say. Because Baruch Hashem, Rashi says it every single time. We talk about truma derabanan. What is truma derabanan? Truma derabanan is anything that's not oil, grapes, or one of the five grains. Meaning, if it's not tirush yitzar v'dagan, so then min hatara, there's no requirement to be mafresh truma, according to Rashi and Tosos throughout Shas. Today's daf is a wonderful example of that, wonderful illustration of that. So bizman chazav ishok, meaning during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, so truma deraisa would be wine, would be oil, would be grains, and any other fruit coming from any other tree, that would be truma derabanan. Even during the times of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, good. So Rashi would have an easy time going over what's Truma Daraisa, what's Truma Darabanan. We know this is one of those very basic machloksim that we hear time and again throughout Shas. The Rambam's of the position that all fruits are chayiv in Truma Samaisos min haTorah. And it's not just limited to grapes, oil, and olives and grains. It would be true by all fruits. How would the Rambam learn a Gemara like this? Actually, it's pretty simple. It's not really that hard. According to the Rambam, you just simply say the distinction between fruits versus vegetables. Fruits are chayv and shumas amaisos min haTorah. Vegetables are not. Okay, so the Rambam really wouldn't be struggling much with our Gemara over here. Anyway, fine. So, Shitas Reish Lakish. Let's just quickly recap. Let's review. Reish Lakish says, was an androgynous? We're not sure. We think he's a man, but we're not sure. Again, halachically, we're talking about the halachic categorization of an androgynous. So, if the androgynous marries a woman, if the androgynous kohen is married a woman, so can he give her truma? Talui, depends, according to Reish Lakish. If it's bizman based on Mikdash, where you had chazav ishok, you had truma daraisa, now basically you're in the major leagues, so at that point in time, the kohen cannot give her anything. Certainly not chazav ishok, certainly not truma daraisa, not even truma derabanan. And again, the reason why is because Truma Derabanan had a concern that the Truma Derabanan, once he gets comfortable with the idea of giving her Truma Derabanan, he'll just simply give her Truma Daraisa. Fine. So you can't do it. Then you move to a time where there's no Beis Hamikdash, and now everything is only working on a Din Derabanan, right? The minor leagues, if you will, if you like my analogy. So then fine. So then we could be more Makel. Okay, good. That's the Shita of Reish Lakish.
Rabbi?
Yeah. Fantastic question. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. I hear you. A coin bomb can eat carbonus. Right, right. And the Gemara's discussion over here is the eating of Truma and the eating of Chazav Ashok. Okay? Rav Yochanan Amar Af Machil B'Chazav Ashok. And Rav Yochanan, the Gemara over here now says, we're back in the Gemara, the Gemara over here says it so succinctly, and it's really, it's easy. Rav Yochanan will tell you that the Androshan is halachically is a man. Once, with no suffix and no reservation. And so once halachically is viewed as a man, so then no problem whatsoever. Meaning the our Kohen Androshan is married to a woman, is allowed to feed her everything. Chazav Ashok, Truma Daraisa, certainly Truma Darabanan. Okay, good. Amalei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Misvars Truma Bizman Zed Darabanan. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, how could you possibly be of the position that Truma Bizman Zed Zedin Darabanan? Meaning Reish Lakish is afforded his position, because what he'll tell you is that Truma nowadays is not a Din Daraisa, it's only Din Darabanan. And so what the Gemara is going to do for the remainder of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, is discuss and deliberate this very point, whether or not Truma nowadays is a Din Darabanan. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, do you really subscribe to that viewpoint, that Truma Bizman says a Din Darabanan? I'm like, in. And so Reish Lakish just simply shrugs his shoulder and says, yeah, that's what I hold. Shani Shona Igul B'Igulim Ola. Because I'm of the position that if I have a Tarovis, if I have a mixture of Igul B'Igulim, Truma and non-Truma getting mixed together, so I'm of the position Ola, meaning that there's going to be Bittul. And the only way that I can entertain that position is only if we're talking about a Din D'Rabbanan. Meaning if we're talking about a Din D'Raisa, there's no way there could be Bittul. Now that needs much more clarification as we're going to enter into the world of Bittul. But nevertheless, right now, just as a rough sketch of the Gemara right now, so the idea is that the only way that we can entertain Bittul is only if we're talking about where the Isser is an Isser D'Rabbanan, not an Isser D'Raisa. Amar Leva Alo Anishoni Chaticha B'Chatichas Ola. So, so Rav Yochanan's counter argument is, yeah, but I'm going to show you a brisa on Amud Beis talking about pieces of carbon that got mixed together, and there's going to be bittul as well. Now, carbon is a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan, and there's going to be bittul. So what? So there's bittul. That's not going to demonstrate whether or not it's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. This is Rav Yochanan's counter argument to Reish Lakish, because I have a brisa, you'll see it together on the Amud Beis. It's talking about carbon. Carbon certainly is a din d'oraisa, and yet there's bittul. So the Gemara says, Misvar kol shadaka liman shaninu, es shadaka liman shaninu. And so Reish Lakish's counter argument to Rav Yochanan is, you don't know how to learn the Mishnah. You think the Mishnah is saying kol shadaka limanos. I'm telling you that the Mishnah says es shadaka limanos. Now, if you know what the Gemara is talking about, that's great. Right? It's like Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are talking in code to one another. But basically what they're debating is that there's one word in the Mishnah which is subject to a debate in terms of how the word should read. Should it read kol shadarko limanos, or should it read es shadarko limanos? And that's going to make the difference in terms of whether or not we're talking about a truma d'rabban versus a truma d'raisa. To be explained better in just a moment. The kol shadarko limanos, es shadarko limanos, shanina mahi. So the Gemara says, you gotta fill me in on this. What's going on over here? So hopefully you're going to remember we did all this back in the beginning. Masechta Beitza, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalin. So we did all this back then. And so what is this called? It's called review. So Didnan. So we learned in a Mishnah. So this is a Mishnah in Arla, the third parak of Arla. Misha Yelo Chavili Tilson Klesho Klaya Kerem. So let's say you had Tilson. Tilson, fenugreek. That's the best I can do in terms of telling you what it is. It's some sort of vegetation, edible vegetation. And Klaya Kerem. In other words, then what happened was is that it was added to the vineyard, it was grown in the vineyard, and so now this is a perfect example, illustration of Klai Kerem. What do we know regarding Klai Kerem? So you have to destroy it. So Yid Luku. So the halacha is most principally is that you have to burn it. And in other words, it's Asur B'Achila, it's Asur B'Hana, you have to destroy it. Now, Nis Arva B'Acheros, as we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, so Kulan Yid Luku Divrei Meir. So let's say there's a Tyrovis as a mixture. So according to Rav Meir, okay. So there's no Bittul. There's simply not going to be Bittul. Now, why isn't there going to be Bittul? Meaning we know, generally speaking, when you have a Tyrovis, when you have a mixture, as long as there is more of one than the other, so then there's going to be Bittul. What's behind the sheet of Rav Meir? Hold that thought. And the Chachamim say, no, there's going to be Bittul. Meaning as long as you have the proper ratios, so then there's going to be Bittul. Now, what is the proper ratio for Kalaya Kerem? Everyone hold on. So the proper ratio is 1 to 200. Wow. That's a lot. Now, I say that's a lot, by the way. What do I normally need? I need majority. In other words, we're talking about yavish b'yavish. We're not talking about where tastes get mixed one with the other. Once you're talking about tastes getting mixed up one with the other, so then you need a ratio of 1 to 60. Bata b'shishim. Right? Echa b'shishim. But we're not talking about that. We're right now talking about where it's fenugreek. Some of it is klai karam fenugreek, and some of it's not. So the amount that you need in order to establish bittul is going to be 1 to 200. Okay, but the point is that according to the Chachamim, the number is large, but there is a number, meaning there will come a point in time where there's going to be bittul. On the other hand, Rameir says there's simply never going to be bittul. It's simply bittul blocked, right? The classic bittul blocker discussions of the Gemara. In other words, there simply will not be bittul. So, Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, we're continuing now in the Mishnah and Arla. We're on the second line on Pei Alpha Medbeis. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, Kosher Dakar Limanus Mekadesh. V'chachamim Rame Eina Mekadesh, Ela Shisha Dvarim Bavan. So, Rabbi Meir is of the position that Kol Shadarko Limanos. Now, we're all hearing it. Let's hear it really clearly. Rabbi Meir says that anything that is sold by count. So, what is that? That's called a Davar Shebeminyan. Anything sold by count is really significant and therefore never subject to bittul. Okay? That's Kol Shadarko Limanos. Okay, so, right, wait, well, hold that thought. And the Chachamim are memeno mekadesh al shisha dvarim bavan. The Chachamim say that the only time it's going to be mekadesh, meaning that there's not going to be bittul, is only six things, and only six things. Rabbi Kiva Amer Shiva. And Rabbi Kiva would like to add on a seventh thing. Elohim, what are the six items that are not subject to bittul according to the Chachamim? And that is it goes in prach for yermoni bedan v'chavios esumas v'chalfi teradin v'kolche kruv v'delas yivanis. And Rabbi Kiva over Rabbi Kiva Mosif af kikar shabala bayis haruun la arla arla l'klayakarim klayakarim. Okay, so six or seven items. Please forgive me. I'm not going to go over the six items over there. All I'm going to do is just struggle in terms of telling you what these various special types of fruits and vegetables are. Okay, so I'm just not going to bother. Okay, right, in the consideration of time, in any way, I'm not sure. So, but the point is that if they are like these six really specialty items, so then there's not going to be bittul. But generally speaking, as long as you have a ratio of 1 to 200, there is going to be bittul. So what do we have in this Mishnah in Arla? A machlokus between Rameir and the Chachamim. Rameir says that kol shadarko limanos. So if it's sold by count, so then it's a davar chashuv, and there's not going to be bittul. And the Chachamim say to Rameir, no, those are for specialty items. Six specialty items. Rabbi Kiva adds a seventh. Specialty items, there's not going to be bittul. But if something is generally sold by count, that's not going to make it so chashuv that there's not going to be bittul. Ad kan. That's the Mishnah and Arla. Now, what are we looking for right now? That line of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says anything sold by count. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Savar es shadarko limanos shaninu. Reish Lakish Savar kol shadarko limanos shaninu. And so we have a basic machlokas amarayim, Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. How do you read the Mishnah? Meaning, what should be the correct girsa of the Mishnah? According to Rav Yochanan, es shadarko limanos. Meaning, it is only sold by count. It's the only way it's sold. So let's just give it like a modern example. So eggs nowadays. So when you buy eggs, when you go to the store and you buy eggs, is it ever not sold by count? No. In other words, you don't buy a basket of eggs. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that eggs are not subject to bittul. I'm just, in other words, just so we can see what we're looking at. So eggs are always sold by count. So eggs would fall under the category of es shadarko limanos. Okay. On the other hand, and that's the way Rav Yochanan understands the Mishnah. And therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, the going back to the igulim, going back to our dates that we were describing previously. That would mean that the dates are sold by count or not by count. Yeah, depends. Sometimes they're sold by count. Sometimes they're not sold by count. Meaning that once Rav Yochanan says es shadarko limanos, the only thing that's going to be impervious to bittul, the only thing where bittul is going to be blocked, is only something which is exclusively sold by count. But once you're dealing with something that's not exclusively sold by count, so then we could be talking about bittul. Oh, okay, fine. Very good. Masha Enkin, according to Reish Lakish will tell you no. Kol shadarko limanos. If it is only sold by count, that is the only way in which it is It is the only way in which it is, according to Reish Lakish. Oh, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Kol shadaka limanos. If it's not exclusively sold by cow, meaning sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So under those circumstances, as I was going to say, potatoes may be a good example. Potatoes are not a good example. Sorry, I just rejected my thought. I'm just trying to come up with a good example of what sometimes is sold by count. So, because potatoes, even when they're bagged, they're sold not by count, they're sold by weight. Okay, so not my best example. Okay, anyway, doesn't matter. Okay, if it's not exclusively sold by count, but as long as sometimes it's sold by count, so Reb Meir says that's chashuv. It's chashuv enough where there's not going to be bittul. Okay, that's the shita of Reish Lakish. So and that means that what Reish Lakish will tell you. Now we're talking about igulim, which is dates, and bizman hazeh. If igulim were a din de araisa, so then there would never be bittul. There would simply never be bittul. So what Reish Lakish is therefore arguing, meaning this is now the summary of the entire dialogue and discussion between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is going to be of the position that since he is more flexible, is that the best way to say it? Since he is entertaining more items that we're going to block bittul with, meaning even if it's not exclusively sold by count, even though sometimes it's sold by count, so it's Reish Lakish of the opinion of kol shadaka limanos, that would mean now that anytime we're talking about any isser where it's sometimes sold by count, if the isser is an isser daraisa, there would never be bittul. By virtue of the fact that the igulim is even on the table for discussion, that there's going to be bittul, it must be that the isser is an isser derabanan. It can't be an isser deraisa. Had it been an isser deraisa, since Reish Lakish says that anything that's sold by count, even on occasion, there's never going to be bittul, so then the igulim is simply not going to be, should never be subject to bittul. By virtue of the fact that we're even entertaining the discussion, it must be that truma bezman hazeh is a din derabanan. On the other hand, let's just finish the thought, according to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan would say no, meaning he is much more limiting in terms of all those things which are going to be impervious to bittul, only those things which are exclusively sold by count. So that means to say that you can have dates nowadays, sometimes sold by count, sometimes not sold by count. Why is there bittul by the dates? The reason why is because it's not exclusively sold by count. It might be, meaning according to Rav Yochanan, it may be that the dates nowadays is a din of truma de araisa. That might be in fact the case, but the reason why there's bittul is because it's not exclusively sold by count. So, meaning what Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan have to do is they have to explain why it is that there is a bittul discussion of truma bizman hazeh. According to Rav Yochanan, the reason why is very simple, meaning because the only things that are going to be impervious to bittul are those things that are only exclusively sold by count, which is limiting in number. And so anything not under that category can be subject to bittul. Reish Lakish will tell you, no, since I am more open to those things that are impervious to bittul, even if it's not exclusively sold by count, even though sometimes it's sold by count, so now in explanation of why truma bizman hazeh is subject to bittul, you have to give a different explanation. What's a different explanation? Different explanation is that it's truma bizman hazeh is a din derabanan, not a din deraisa. Okay. I hope that was clear, meaning I understand. That was a lot of moving parts of the discussion of truma bizman hazeh, but the Gemara, it tries to create a correlation between where your stance is in terms of that Mishnah and Arla and correlate that to what your position of truma is bizman hazeh. There's a little bit more of the Gemara that we need to do. We'll save that part for tomorrow. Karban chatas is that get mixed up together one with the other. We'll do that tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. First part of today's daf. So we went over various symptoms that would make that would establish a man to be a sirschama and a woman to be an islandess. And even though you can look at the area itself, the genital area itself, to see whether or not there's hair in that area or not. In addition to that, there are other symptoms to look at. As far as the more than half dozen symptoms that the Gemara mentions, does a man need to exhibit all those symptoms in order to test positive, so to say, as being a sirschama? That was a machlokes amarayim between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. That took us all the way to the end of yesterday's daf. And then what the Gemara did is it touched up on a couple of points on the Mishnah, and then we got to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah discussed a Sris Chama Kohen, a marriage to a Bas Yisrael. And the marriage is a sanctioned marriage, a perfectly legitimate marriage. Only a Psua Dak or Kroshafra is not allowed to marry, but a Sris Chama is allowed to marry. And so the if he marries a Bas Yisrael, so he or she will be able to eat Truma, and then the Unjudgeness. The Mishnah goes on to discuss that if an Unjudgeness Kohen is married to a woman, so she'll be able to eat Truma as well. And then after that, the Mishnah made a couple of other points, which we're going to come back to in tomorrow's daf. But then after that, the bulk of today's daf is the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Meaning, even though our Mishnah says with clarity that an androgynous Kohen married to a woman, she's able to eat truma, so are there any limits and caps on that point in the Mishnah? And that's a major debate. So the Rav Yochanan is of the position, ma'achila b'chaz v'shok, that there are no limits. According to Rav Yochanan, the androgynous is a zachar vadai, a definitive zachar categorically, and so therefore there are not going to be any limits. She is the wife of a Kohen, with all the rights, privileges of wife of a Kohen. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says no. Reish Lakish will tell you, I know the Mishnah says that she can eat truma, but it's only truma bisman azeh, which is a din derabanan, not truma bisman beis hamikdash, which is a din daraisa. And because Reish Lakish is of the position, the androgynous is not a vadai zachar. What's the androgynous? A suffix zachar. Meaning because he's exhibiting both male and female, so therefore, Reish Lakish says that categorically, halachically, suffix. So if we're talking about a suffix on a derabban and truma bizman is that, chachamim were makel. But if we're talking about bizman beis hamikdash, where it's a din daraisa, chachamim were not makel. You have to be machmer. It's a suffix on a daraisa. Okay. And then the remaining part of today's daf was a question of whether, in fact, Truma Bizman Azeh is a Din Darabanan. Reish Lakish comfortably said that Truma Bizman Azeh is a Din Darabanan. Rav Yochanan was not so sure about it. And this may correlate with the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, how to learn the Mishnah in Arla. Adkan.